Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Malzi, let's get to Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, I would say right now, arrow pointed up, as Tomlin likes to say. He's in the good graces of Steelers fans. Offense statistically is middle of the pack, but they're 3-1. They're really good in the red zone.
They coming off
the
their best game.
Coming off their best game, and they're running the ball. They're running the ball because they use that jumbo package.
Why can't they call it the baloney package here?
Do you spell baloney B-O-L-O-G-N-A, or do you spell baloney B-A-L-O-N-E-Y?
I've never been more thrilled that you've asked me a question, Andrew. Baloney B-A-L-O-N-E-Y is if somebody says something. I'm like, that's a load of baloney. If I say, honey, we need baloney from the grocery store, it's B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
You'll spell it as Bologna.
Bologna. Yeah, I mean, that's what I go with there.
What I hate about that spelling is that it makes it sound like it's, or it makes it seem like it's fancy when it's not. The other spelling, I think, is more fitting for what baloney is.
It's very funny because the team the Steelers are playing this week has a famous celebrity chef named Michael Simon who has tried to make baloney a fancy item.
Yeah. How's that going for him?
I mean, people do like his sandwiches, and he just takes these big-ass hunks of baloney and gussies them up a little
Donnie,
bit.
Donnie, when was the last time you ate a baloney sandwich?
Oh, man. I mean, it has to be 15-plus years.
I've never eaten one, to my knowledge.
In your entire life?
I've never eaten bologna, to my knowledge.
Rob Pratt from AM used to eat bologna every day of his life. He
Not
used to
surprising.
Get home with his shift at like 11 o'clock and eat an entire thing of Oscar Mayer's bologna.
A whole thing?
Yeah.
That's called, like, well.
And now look at him. He's rail thin.
Yeah.
Now he looks like one of those skeletons you put on your front lawn for
well,
Halloween.
That's a little harsh.
He does, though. I'm saying that that's a complimentary comment.
Complimentary? You just
yes.
said he looks like a Halloween skeleton.
Donnie,
what kind of compliments
Donnie,
do you just
he's
dispense?
Lost a lot of weight. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
Hey, man, you look like.
He has lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, he has, but Pony's like basically saying, hey, you look like the Crypt Keeper. You've never looked better.
No, if he looked like the Crypt Keeper, I would have said that. Tom Petty looked like the Crypt Keeper. Rob Pratt does not look like the Crypt Keeper. All right, so back to
anyway.
Jumbo package football.
Yes.
Spencer Anderson, Darnell Washington, that worked. Arthur Smith got asked today about using that package more and more. And here's what he said about that, and including a historical reference that was literally 500 years old. Let's hear it.
It's a big game plan. I mean, that's the thing. When you've got smart players like we do, you know, there's things that core stuff you carry. You may dress it up different week to week, but then there's things that you need to game plan for. I mean, it's just a long evolution. You know, you get 2 weeks and you know, people put a label on somebody like, hey, this is the best offense, this is the best defense. And every 2 weeks a different challenge. And your number one objective is how do you win that game? Different challenge, the way Minnesota was built. You know, the way they played, you know, they had changed, you know, different paths when I'd gone against Flo when he was first year in Minnesota when I was Atlanta, or he was in Miami in 21 and I was in Atlanta. You know, there's an evolution to him, too, and there's some core principles, but you wouldn't do it if you didn't think it would give us an advantage. It's not like you just copy it because you think it's cool or somebody else did it. It's got to be logical and it's got to give you an advantage. Where we're unique, and it's just, you know, I think like the old adage, you know, and I think it was a George Young quote about the Franco Harris debate that's in, was it in Chuck Knoll's book? Yeah, so this was settled 2,000 years ago when Alexander the Great came riding in on elephants. It's kind of what it looked like. He took the tackle over. It was 1,000 pounds over there. Troy Broderick and you had Spence and Darnell. It was 1,000 pounds and try to knock the edge off the defense. That doesn't mean that schematically that's the best plan of attack this week. Could be. I mean, you just got to be smart. And then the other thing is where I'll give Spence credit, and I've been past where you get a jumbo tight end, and the guy's limited because he's really just a phone booth guy, and Spence is a hell of an athlete. So was Darnell for those guys. You know, I imagine Spence, I'm sure he could tell you he was probably a great basketball player, and he's unique, and he's coming along, you know, as a guard and tackle too. And then, you know, sometimes game to game that can take away. Jonu's and Pat's snaps were down. They're valuable members, but just the way the game went and it worked. But doesn't mean it's going to work this week, and we got a different challenge.
All right. There he is on the jumbo package. Now, the elephants, did you get that? Are you aware
of that
story?
He was marauding around on elephants. I did.
And that was his X factor, that his army had bigger species.
I mean, they're the tank of the animal kingdom. Yeah.
Right.
He was taking them around. Somebody else is coming in on camels. You're kind of screwed. That's air raid offense you're going against.
So pick the big people?
Yeah.
Is the moral of the story there?
I would, by the way,
go big.
In football terms, yeah. You just want to get the bigger team. I mean, Mike Tomlin
did not work out for George Young, though, because he didn't pick Franco Harris and the Steelers did. But anyways.
I would say that Arthur Smith trying to play coy, like, is this going to be the game plan this week? It might be the game plan one week, not the next week. What is the best way to neutralize a great pass rusher? Generally, like, conventional football
run
wisdom.
At him.
Run it right at the guy. Now, not with T.J. Watt. One of the great things about his game is you run it to his side, you're probably going to get a very small gain. But if you want to keep Myles Garrett as much on his back foot as you can, you put all the beef on one side and you say, we are going to put like six hands on you and try to like put you into the ground. And just you almost hope you wear the guy out at that point doing that. He's got to fight off double teams every time that are run-blocking double teams. To me, that just seems like basic football logic here.
I will give the Browns a compliment. It's the best so far, the best run defense in the NFL. If you're going to run at them, I don't think you're just going to line up five guys against their
front line. You have to get
line.
Creative.
No, see, if you're going to run it, you're going to have to need more. You're going to have to allocate more people to it, and you're probably going to want to use the bigger people who block better. So if they're going to come out hell-bent to run the ball, they do that. Now, the other thing, though, that I would say would throw the Browns a curveball is they play this. Rodgers went over this, so I'm just completely drafting off of him here. If they play their base defense a lot and they play all these guys in the box and they play big people on defense, then why not play your smaller lineup and force them out of it?
You've got to be able to protect your quarterback long enough for him to, like, make it hurt with your smaller lineup.
But, I mean, if at the line of scrimmage it's a linebacker matched up against one of your wide receivers, we've seen that story with the Steelers' defense before. And
it's a little different when it's Keenan Allen matched up against Sean Spence versus, I don't know, they're going to be able to ISO DK Metcalf on a linebacker?
I don't think it has to be DK Metcalf.
Scotty Miller? Ben Skoranek? Yeah,
still, though.
You understand what I'm saying, though. None of those – Scotty Miller's fast, but none of those guys is prime Keenan Allen.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, like,
destroyed knee.
You could do that. You could zig when they expect you to zag, and you could put Roman Wilson out there and say, all right, man, here you go. They just traded one of their corners, so they're really thin at that position. They're designed to stop the run. Let's throw the ball on them 35 times because they're not good at that. And we've got the Hall of Fame quarterback who knows how to have the quick trigger. Let's beat him that way. Let's get a lead doing that. And then if we want to run the ball and protect a lead, we can do that later in the game.
I think the bigger advantage to what you're saying is not so much about like what we could do later, what they could do later in the game running the ball. I do think if you get a lead on them, you have a pretty good chance of forcing Stefanski, the play caller, and Gabriel, the quarterback, out of a comfort zone.
Yeah, you change their offense, too.
Because they were very good playing with a lead for most of that Vikings game where they could just run Judkins a lot, and he looked good. He looked like a guy who was making people miss and was running powerfully. I would like to see what it would look like if the Steelers could jump out to a sort of shock and surprise 10-0 lead here and see if Stefanski has like the kind of the guts to stick with his game plan. I don't know though, man. Like there's part of me that back when the Ravens used to be awesome at stopping the run, you'd almost say like, we're not even going to bother with it because they're so good at it. It's just stupid. There's part of me that wants to see if they can line up jumbo and just say like, yeah, you're good at defending the run, but you haven't seen something like this. I don't know. I kind of want to see that more.
Here is, let's get to Arthur Smith on how they're going to divvy up the carries at running back. Now, all the insiders who are there at practice are saying it's going to go right back to Jaylen Warren being the guy and Kenneth Gainwell being the change of pace. Let's see if Arthur Smith's comments today back that up.
You know, we've used some packages where him and Jaylen are both out there. They're both unique players. They're not, in my opinion, traditional running backs. And Jaylen's a very unique guy. Just his yards after contact, you know, that's an interesting stat. When I had Tyler Algier and we drafted Tyler, he was, I think, second behind Kenneth Walker in yards after contact. And his is just no fair dodging, run you over. And then when we took Bijan, he was a very yards after contact, but the way he did it, it was more balanced. And, you know, you put him in a phone booth, and I've never seen somebody that can make somebody miss in short quarters. But they, you know, whether they got a hand on him, it was different. And Tyler is just like, get out of my way, here I go. And then with Jaylen, same thing. Guys bounce off him. You know, he's got a feel, cut back things. Guys that can take a check down or a schemed up bubble screen and go 60. I mean, it's unique in space. Or Kenny in space, he's just a unique athlete. You know, at that position, there's been a run of guys out of Memphis that have been hybrid backs and wideouts, and he's one of them. They've had a good run down there in Memphis. You know, sometimes you're limited what you got. Sometimes it's one for one, and you can get into some of the two backs. And again, because he can do it, he's a legitimate threat at wideout. So it gives you a lot of flexibility, and you try to get the ball in your productive players' hands. And obviously with Jaylen, morning of, can't go. His role became bigger as his traditional back, and he did a heck of a job. But there's a lot of, it gives you a lot of freedom going forward. You build confidence.
It's honestly the thing I'm the most conflicted on for this game. I like Jaylen Warren a lot, so it's hard for me as a Jaylen Warren fan and believer to say less Jaylen Warren is what's best for this team. At the same time, Gainwell did so well, even if the personnel and scheme the Steelers used he greatly benefited from. Like, do I think Jaylen Warren could have had a similar game running behind that offensive line with that blocking? Yes, I do. But I've also seen it so few and far between, the Steelers having successful rushing attacks lately, that I don't want to not reward that. You know, so, and I also think with both guys, even though they're used to not being the number one back, I also think just like rotating them and doing it 50-50 is probably a disservice to both. So I actually think potentially for this game, as far as like personnel usage, this is the toughest call Tomlin and Arthur Smith have to make. And if I was sitting in that meeting room and they gave a rat's ass about my opinion, I don't honestly think I honestly don't think I'd give them a good answer, Chris.
I'd go Gainwell. Pretty firmly.
And I said Gainwell earlier in the week, but now I don't feel as good about it because I like Warren so much.
Warren seeks out contact, and I think the Browns are a good enough tackling team when it comes to the run game that I don't necessarily want that. I also thought Gainwell just looked really smooth.
He did.
He looked very decisive. I think even when Warren looks good sometimes, there's a certain choppiness. Not necessarily like a bad thing. I'm saying it in that tone like it is. There's a certain halting nature to how he runs where he'll explode after going sort of sideways and laterally. He did it on the long catch and run. There was a little bit of that. And Gainwell just, I don't know, man. I know he's not the same body type. It reminded me of a version of watching like Fred Taylor against the Steelers when he would get the flow going one way, cut back, very smooth sort of stride and gait. And that just created a lot of confidence in me, the viewer, that he knew where the hole was, knew how to get to it. And whatever run Gainwell was going to have, whenever he touched the ball in that game, I felt like he was going to max out the carry, which is a good feeling against a team that only after last week's game started giving up on average exactly 3 yards a carry.
Donnie, which running back would you treat like the starter in this game?
I think I would ride the hot hand and go Gainwell. Yeah. And you guys know what a fan of Jaylen Warren I am.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's not as if he's, you know, it's not as if Gainwell is replacing like a Hall of Fame level running back here. And it should be a guy that plops right back into start. I mean, I would be more than fine if it was right down the middle, 50-50 or whatever. But, I mean, Gainwell was great against Minnesota.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep it rolling.
Here is Arthur Smith on Aaron Rodgers' comments. Aaron Rodgers said yesterday, look, we can't throw the ball downfield because of the way defenses are playing us right now. They're sitting back with those two deep safeties. There's not opportunities to throw it deep because they've got guys camped out back there. Here's Arthur Smith's reaction to that.
You know, at the end of the day, he's got a lot of reps. You know, you may call a play. You trust him. Like, you know, sometimes if whether you're trying to run some kind of three level or double move deep, you know, you may get the look you want. There's plenty of guys, and we've got enough guys too. And for you know, I call it the Uncle Rico from the Bowling Bino. You just see guys just launch one. And it's, you know, it might be in a single high, and the guy just goes up there and he takes the ball out of his hand. There's one way to do it, or you scheme it up and you get the look and they bite and launch it that way, and you may hit the second level. And then sometimes if you're just feeling in rhythm and it goes again, credit to our backs, it's like you clear the paint. It may be there. Heck, sometimes it's just, hey, I just get one through the hoop and I'm giving the ball to Kenny or Jalen in space with nobody around him in 10 yards. I mean, those are good plays, you know, so it's just, there's a lot that goes into it. You certainly try to make sure that they feel it, whether you hit it or not. At least the DBs feel it, so they're not just sitting there sitting on everything, because that becomes a problem. And then you get times, and the way you want to be built is when you can go deep and you've got guys that can take, you know, we call it a strike route that DK took. He took it 80. And that, to me, makes you really explosive. You can multiple ways, where it's not just go balls and launching them like Uncle Rico style. There's different ways to hit them. Certainly you want to hit some down the grass. And, you know, we've had some, you know, some one-on-ones that we've hit, and man, but then we'll keep working on it.
Man, he's really loving that Napoleon Dynamite reference. I've never seen that movie, by the way. I get the Uncle Rico thing because I've seen
it. It was a time and a place.
Yeah.
It was very much a time
and
a place.
And I don't think it really is like required viewing to go back and watch it.
It's also not your type of humor. Maybe if you had been ultra stoned while you watched it, you would have liked it.
So you don't think it's aged well?
I just think, like I said, time and a place. It's one of the few movies
where, like, if you sat down to watch it right now with Lennox and...
I'd be like, nah, no, I'm not bothering to do this. Yeah. I mean, there are some lines...
Are you surprised Arthur Smith seems to be a Napoleon Dynamite fan?
Actually, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Like he's a man that's making Alexander the Great and World War II references when he talks.
Yeah, he contains multitudes. I would like to see him, like, transition from, yeah, I'm going to read about Alexander the Great coming in on all these elephants. All right, now let's watch.
Donnie, does Napoleon Dynamite strike you as a football guy type movie?
Yeah, why not? I mean, Uncle Rico's an all-time legend. He draws comparisons to Gardner Minshew.
Also,
I love that movie.
There is an Uncle Rico from, like, every school. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, everybody, I shouldn't say from every school. Everybody knows an Uncle Rico.
Absolutely.
I think that's the more accurate thing. There's always somebody.
And what is an Uncle Rico?
Basically an Al Bundy, four touchdown city championship.
A guy who talks about his high school football career like he was the greatest of all time. And Uncle Rico's case is,
it's if Coach would have just put me in,
yeah,
we'd have won states.
Gotcha.
What do you think, I could throw a football over them mountains? I do love that line because the mountains are several miles away, and it's just one of the dumbest things ever put on film.
And then he throws that stake and it hits Napoleon right in the face.
Your grandmother was out off-roading, broke her cockics.
You want to talk about a guy that got typecast, Josh Hader from that
John
movie.
Hader. Josh Hader is a closer.
John Heater.
He was in that Blades of Glory movie, though. That was pretty funny.
But he was basically just a Napoleon Dynamite facsimile, wasn't he? He was pretty much playing the same type of character.
Like an awkward guy. Like, yeah. They had Pam
That's
from The Office in that movie, and they had her looking phenomenal. And he's like,
really?
Oh, yes.
For real?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd concur.
What's up,
yeah,
man?
Pam, they had Pam from The Office. Jenna Fisher is her name. And whew,
she can clean up okay.
Okay. That might be the understatement of the week.
But why doesn't she do that in more shows and movies then?
I don't think she wants to be typecast.
As a woman that men
are
attracted to?
As a sultry secretary. She plays like the same role that she did in The Office, where she's kind of unassuming and... Well, a little bit meek and like the forgotten about person, and then she's the beautiful rose pony.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.